Tengo permanencia.
Leadership, that's the presentation from our side. We've indicated the progress we've made, the challenges we've experienced and the shortcomings, but including our response plan. And we want to thank you for allowing us to make that presentation. And as we are aware, we're also joined by the leadership of the TCTA, the chair, and the CE, they are all here. And I've not checked my screen because the Water Research Commission should also be here because when the DG reports, they are always covered under our annual report. But you will guide us, Chairperson, whether we're taking the next presentation led by the TCTA, the Chairperson, and the CE. Thank you very much, Elder.
Will you not have left by the time they finished?
No. I will not have left because I'll leave at the time when Matungwane is here, but I'm still connected until the 4:15.
Okay. TCTA,
good afternoon. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Chairperson. Honorable DM, good afternoon. Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Precious Sibiya. I'm the Chairperson of TCTA. I'm here with the CEO, Mr. Percy Chemane, and the CFO, Ms. Busi Shongwe. The CE and the CFO will highlight will present the performance of the organization. The CFO specifically talking about the financial aspect, and the CE talking about the performance in general. Over to you, CE, with the presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and members. Minister of Water and Sanitation and the Deputy Minister. DM, I think I've seen the minister in the in the room as well. That's why I'm doing this. But anyway, thanks, Chair. And I think without any waste of time, Chair, we'll start our presentation, I think, on slide 10, because the previous slides, 1 to 9, they're just highlighting what TCTA is about. But really, in one slide, our role is to raise funding for implementation of infrastructure, to actually look at infrastructure project delivery, trying to ensure that it's done within budget, and to also do debt management after we have actually raised the funding for these projects that we're talking about. So this sort of sums it up, but the presentation that has been circulated actually explains who TCTA is and what we do. So our presentation really focuses on these particular issues. So currently, or for the year under review, which is the year 2022-23, the projects that are in preparation is the Perth Fuel Flay, River Fuel Flay Augmentation Scheme, and looking at the phase one of the Mkomazi Water Project. This is the preparatory work that we are doing at this stage. There has been movement, I must say, post the year end of 2023, and I'll talk a bit about that in passing as well. Just looking at the Perth River Fuel Flay Augmentation Scheme, this project is specifically looking at the Western Cape water supply, and we'll be looking at augmenting the water supply there. We all know that the rainfall in Cape Town actually happens in winter. That's why we're talking about during winter months, because we need to collect as much of the water as possible. The project is really consisting of a weir and a pump station at the Berg River with a 6.3-kilometer pipeline discharging water into the full flow dam. The project cost is around 1.2 billion, and where we are at this stage is, or at the end of the year, was the issuing of the tender document for professional service provider for the detailed design, that being dependent on securing the total project funding or National Treasury granting us or exemption from the requirement of National Treasury Supply Chain Management Note 3, which requires that funding to be available before going out on tender. This is a common feature in the presentation that we're going to do, because according to National Treasury, we need to ensure that we have secured the funding before we actually go out on tender. And it's understood and where this is coming from, because most of the time you would find the state putting out tenders and then canceling them. But for us, it really does not work for us, because we need to run a parallel process. Otherwise, our projects become too expensive. But I must say as well that there's been a lot of work that we've done between myself and the DG of the department, engaging the then acting DG of National Treasury. So we are looking at getting that exemption so that we can fast track the projects that the country so much needs at this particular point in time. The Mkomazi Water Project Phase 1, this will transfer water from the Mkomazi River to augment the Mgeni system, which supplies domestic water to approximately 5 to 6 million people and industries in Durban and Pietermaritzburg regions. And it really constitutes the dam at Smithfield on the Mkomazi River. We have to construct a 33-kilometer raw water tunnel and a 5.1-kilometer water pipeline to connect the raw water tunnel to the Baines Field Water Treatment Works, which currently belongs to the Umgeni Utugela Water Board. The idea here is to make sure that we can use existing infrastructure for the water board, because the purification gets done by the water board. So that's why it's done in such a way that we can divert the raw water into the Baines Field Water Treatment Works belonging to the water board. The project is in concept design stage, or at the end of the year in March. That was where it was. And the cost at that time was 23.2 billion. And like I said as well, the issuing of the tender is dependent on, because we need to do the dam and the water conveyance infrastructure, is dependent on the conclusion of the water supply agreements by all municipalities. We had 5 of the 6 municipalities being on board in terms of starting with the Section 33. But subsequent to the end of the year, there has been a lot of discussions and leadership from the minister in terms of engaging with the local businesses and also the municipal leadership, to the extent that much as it's after the year 22-23, there are developments now where finally the main municipality, which is the metro, has now started with their Section 33 process as required by the MFMA, and they are looking at finalizing that in November. So next time when we report on this project, we should be able to be at a point where there has been development on the basis of where the project sits. The project in implementation, currently we are looking at the Vaal River system, and I think the department's presentation has touched a lot on what is happening on that side, but I will talk about it from the project side as well. And we are also busy with the Phase 2A of the Mukolo Crocodile Water River Augmentation Project. For the Vaal River system, the fund program on the Vaal River system is used to meet its financial obligations of South Africa to Lesotho to pay for Phase 2 of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. It's important to highlight that South Africa's role is really on raising the funding, which is doing through TCTA by way of a directive from the minister. But the project is solely in Lesotho, or the majority of the project is solely in Lesotho, and it is being done by the sister organization that reports to the government of Lesotho in terms of the building of this. So that is why the benefit that accrues to South Africa is actually us enjoying the water that comes from Lesotho, but the total infrastructure is being done together with us on the other side, but it is being done by the government of Lesotho. The Vaal River system supplies water to 46% of the country's economy and 33% of the population. Phase 2 of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project comprises of the Pudihadi Dam and a transfer tunnel to Katse Dam. Here as well, we know that for Phase 1 we've done Katse Dam, and the Pudihadi is done in such a way that it will actually link with the Katse Dam so that we can also use the existing infrastructure. The project will augment water supply in the Vaal River system by 480 million cubic meters of water per annum. TCTA was ready with funding for the Lesotho Highlands Water Project 2 when the Lesotho Highlands Development Authority needed to award contracts. As I've said, that the contracts are actually awarded by the Lesotho Highlands Development Authority. The project cost as of now is sitting at 42.5 billion, and that's where we were at the end of the year. Phase 2 of the 2A of the Mokolo Crocodile Water Augmentation Project. This project, it will augment water that supply to Eskom, to the IPP Power Generation, Associated Coal Mining, Lephalale Municipality, and unlock economic development in the water, the coal fields. And it comprises really of a weir and pump stations at Tavazimbi and building a 160-kilometer steel pipeline to Lephalale in Limpopo. The project is in the fundraising and tender design procurement phase. Work has begun on raising the 22.5 billion with a good market response from the lenders. So already at the end of the year 2022-23, we were already dealing with some of the funders in terms of finalizing the negotiations. These have just been done, but this is subsequent to the year end in March 2022-23. But we now have a green light from National Treasury that we can continue now with the project and go through the tendering phase. The project is approximately 12.3 billion. And like I said as well, note 3 from National Treasury as well has been something that we had to deal with. But there has been a lot of traction post the year end in terms of National Treasury saying they will be looking at exempting us from this particular note 3 in terms of the instruction notes that come from them. Project in operation and maintenance. Except for these projects that we do and hand over to the department, there are projects that are sitting with TCTA for ops and maintenance. The first one is the acid mine drainage treatment plants that we are doing on behalf of the department, and also the delivery tunnel north of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, wherein as water comes from Lesotho into South Africa, we are responsible for maintaining and operating the pipeline until the outflow at the Ash River. But I will talk a bit about that. Acid mine drainage water treatment plants. There's operation of 3 plants in Gauteng to treat acid mine drainage to an acceptable quality before discharge into the environment. All the water that was pumped and treated before discharge in the environment met the required specification. The required volumes were treated in the central and western basin. The required volume was not achieved in the eastern basin due to failure of the pumps, which abstract water from the mine void. The plant was brought back into full operation following the procurement of new pump motors from an alternative supplier. Why this was a problem was when this started, it was during the lockdown, and we only had one supplier at an international level. But subsequent to us now being exposed to this kind of risk, we started looking around and we did find another alternative supplier. So we are dealing now with more than one supplier, and we've been able to bring the plant back in operation. And in the Western Basin, there was uncontrolled discharge to the environment due to heavy rains, which was mitigated by implementing a temporary dosing solution with no adverse environmental impact that were noted. And these plants are almost operating at full capacity, but sometimes when there are rains, and we are dealing with the department now to try and see whether the solution that we have is permanent or whether we need to make some augmentation to it so that even during rains, we don't have any potential for decant, because we still have some of the areas, the mine void still being open. So water seeps into there and it can be harmful to the environment. But we are dealing with the department to actually find a long-term solution for this particular issue. On the delivery tunnel north, the tunnel is from the border between Lesotho and South Africa to the Ash River outfall north of Clarence in the Free State. And TCTA complied with all its operations and maintenance obligations to ensure that the infrastructure could receive the water released by the Lesotho Highlands Development Authority and release it at the designated outlet point in the Ash River. So we have been able to manage this quite well. I know that in the coming year, and I think it's very important for the Portfolio Committee to be aware that we have, after every 5 years, an inspection that we need to do for 6 months. So we will be shutting down the plant, but we've done it all these years in a manner that there is no negative impact on everybody in South Africa. Of course, now that with all the other challenges that are happening in Gauteng with water supply, we are working with the department to try and make sure then that we will not get into a situation where there's no water on the South African side. But this operation and maintenance, the maintenance part is very important, because if it does not get done, we can actually find ourselves in trouble. But there is a plan that we're dealing with, and I think at the appropriate time, we can actually ensure that even the portfolio committee is aware of what we are doing as a key stakeholder as well. And the last part of my presentation before CFO comes in is just how we are doing now on the debt management. On all projects, capital and interest payments were made on the due date, and the borrowing limits on the projects were not breached as we get them from National Treasury. The debt of Moyo Mgeni Transfer Scheme Phase 2 was repaid in full in 2022, well ahead of the original repayment date. This was to make way for the funding of Mkomazi Water Project. What we do is, even if we do have agreements with the funders in terms of stretching out the debt so that there isn't a spike in terms of the cost of water to the ordinary citizens, sometimes we have to look at it and say, if there's a project that come later, we don't want the end users to actually, where we can avoid it, to now have a two subsequent increases in their tariffs, therefore making water quite expensive. So we were able to fast track the payment of Moyo Mgeni scheme, and it's actually a good thing that we're able to get that repaid by 2022. And then when we look at Nkomazi, that would be the only one that's sitting now in the tariffs for people of KZN. We have really demonstrated to the market the ability to finance national water resource infrastructure and repay the money owed through the tariffs received from the users. A new 400 million facility for the Vaal River Eastern Subsystem Augmentation Project was raised to maintain liquidity as well. It's a project that we've had for some time, but it's very important as we look at the length of the funding cycle and the cost repayment in terms of how we deal with debt, to make sure that we can be able to smooth out that curve as well. And everything is going according to plan so far, so there are no issues for this one. On this, then, I'm going to hand over to the CFO to deal with the financial aspects of the presentation. With your permission, Chair, I'm inviting the CFO of TCTA.
Thanks, CA. Afternoon, Chair and members. I'll take you through the summary of the finances. I think what we'll look at the significant items that we have on the statement of financial position. We have a pair of receivable, cash and cash equivalents, retained income and financial market liabilities. In the next slide, just deals with the movement from 2022 to 2023. Our tariff receivable has reduced from 9.5 to 8.8 billion. The main reason for this was due to the costs that were capitalized and the level of activity being lower than the amount that were received from the DWS. And for cash and cash equivalent, we have an increase from 8.8 to 9.3 billion. This is due to the improved payments by DWS. That is what resulted in the increased cash on hand. And the next one is the retained income. This one has increased. And this one mainly is due to this is the net finance income that we have. And it's just a net finance income mainly due to the way that the TCTA operates. And then the next one, we had financial market liabilities. We had a reduction from 15.1 to 13.3. This is mainly due to capital repayments that were done during the year. And I think the CE has just covered on the one for MMTS. And the next slide deals with the budget versus actual. As far as tariffs were built, we have exceeded the budget. This is mainly due to the volumes being higher than what was budgeted for. And for the running expenses, we were below budget. This is mainly due to lower staff costs, O&M royalties, and the LHDA operations and maintenance. For staff costs, there were vacancies at the end of the financial year. That's why the underspending. And we had an HR optimization plan as TCTA, where we had to keep the staff costs to the minimum so that we don't have admin costs that are really higher than what we had originally anticipated as far as admin and ops expenditure is concerned. For the finance charges, we were below budget. This is mainly due to the underspending that we have. And then there was a delay in setting up the JSE program for the VRF. The next two slides is just a demonstration. First one is on the debt. The main debt that we have is for the LHWP and then followed by the FSAP. As you can see, for the current year or 2022-23, there is no MMTS because it was settled in the previous financial year. The next slide looks at the cash flow for the year under review. Most of 63% of cash was paid to the suppliers, to cost-related payments and to employees. And the next one there is the repayment of borrowings. And we had 10% that went to interest that was paid. If we compare it to the previous financial year, we had the repayment of borrowings, which made 60% of the cash that was paid out, and with 25% being paid to the suppliers, cost-related payments, and to employees. The next slide deals with the irregular expenditure for the year. For 2022, we had irregular expenditure of 156 million. And for the current year, we had 3.7 million. And this one is mainly due to non-compliance with the PFMA. That is where variations were done without following due process. The next slide deals with the progress that was done in terms of managing the irregular expenditure. As indicated, the most of the irregular expenditure that we had in the annual report relates to contracts that were entered into in the previous financial years. Of that amount that was included is about 555 million was approved for removal from the financial statement by the board. And in order for us to manage the irregular expenditure, we had to improve the internal control environment. And this has worked over the years. If we're looking at the trend, we have had a irregular expenditure reducing from the 2018-19 to the 2022-23. We had a loss control committee, and this is the committee that basically looked at the loss control function, where we had to make the assessment and then make a recommendation to the CE for the actions that need to be taken for the people responsible for that. We are currently busy with a request for condonation for 253 million, and we expect that this would be written off by the condoned or written off by the end of the financial year. We did receive an unqualified audit opinion, but there was a matter of emphasis. And this was mainly due to the material misstatement that was that we had to do during the audit process. This is a matter that we are currently attending to. The board has instructed us to make sure that we do achieve a clean audit for 2023-24. There is a plan that we have. This plan is presented to the audit committee on a quarterly basis and then to the board, for them to monitor progress regarding that to ensure that we ultimately get that clean audit at the end of the financial year. And Chair, the last one is just on the going concern. As TCTA, we have assessed ourselves as a going concern because we're looking at our operations. They haven't really changed materially, and we will be able to meet all the obligations as they fall through. So that's why we have been assessed ourselves as a going concern. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. From TCTA, I'll hand over to DM or to the Minister. Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
We're done now, and His Excellency the Minister is back. But I'm handing over now that we have completed our two presentations. You will guide us, and then Umacengwane will lead us going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister and the Minister. Members, we are, presentations are given to us, and I think we are, it is time for us to engage the two presentations. As said, specify which presentation your questions will be and state them, and they will then be responded to accordingly. I do not see hands on the platform. If I can see hands. One hand is up. Honorable Mary Peterson. Honorable Madala. Nothing more. Okay, let's hear my Honorable Miyoko Matuba. Let's hear Honorable Peterson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've got four questions for the department. The first question is on the areas of underperformance. On page 6, the comparison between non-financial and financial performance highlights areas of underperformance. And I've noticed that some of these areas are reoccurring when one looks at the previous financial year's annual reports, such as the lack of implementation of a risk management plan, the National Water Amendment Bill, scheduled and unscheduled maintenance projects, dam safety rehabilitation projects completed, etc. What actions has the department taken against the officials who have failed to implement these tasks? If not, why has the department taken such actions? Chairperson, can I also give a recommendation to the question that I ask? Chairperson?
The recommendation might not be comfortable with the department.
Must I give it?
Yes, let's hear what
I would like to submit to the, I would like to submit to the portfolio committee that in instances of poor performance by the departmental officials, I wish to recommend consequence management as a corrective measure. For instance, if departmental officials need training to fully perform certain tasks of their work, then training should be provided. My second question on underspending. Last year, when the department tabled its 2021-22 annual report, you highlighted measures to improve spending. However, we still have an underspending amount to 767,389 million on capital payments. What is the root cause of the underspending? And what challenges has the department faced when it implemented the measures identified in the previous annual report? The department should employ consequence management for continuous underspending on the allocated budget. Question 3 is a question on procurement spent on designated groups. We note that the department for the year under review struggled to achieve some of its set targets relating to setting aside its procurement spend for designated groups, women, youth, and people with disabilities. What steps should the department take to ensure that the designated groups benefit from departmental procurement in the future? I have observed that the procurement spend for the designated groups, especially women and youth, have been fluctuating when compared with the previous years. However, for people living with the disabilities, it has been stagnant at 2%. I wish to recommend that the department work with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities and the Department of Small Business Development with the intention of expanding business opportunities for those designated groups. My last question is question on the bucket eradication program. On the bucket system eradication program, the department has been struggling to complete the project for a number of years. What is the root cause of the delay in completing this undignified sanitation system in our country? And what measures would the department implement to address the root causes? Has the department taken action against officials or service providers that have contributed to the slow implementation of this program? If not, why has it taken consequence? Why has it taken consequence management? What is the framework to eradicate the bucket system in the affected areas? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks so much, Chairperson. I have got just a few questions. My first question is, when will the Department of Water and Sanitation ensure monitoring and reviewing of implementation of action plans prepared by water services authorities to address water losses? Chairperson, the second question is, how will the Department of Water and Sanitation capacitate the operations and maintenance units of their work to ensure the shortfall of billions is available for operations and maintenance of critical infrastructure? Lastly, Chair, did the Department of Water and Sanitation receive any feedback from the National Treasury on rollovers requested by the water trading entity for the Giani water tankering assistance from the Department of Water and Sanitation and budget eradication, which reflects an amount of 722 million for committed projects in progress within the ARDIC and the WASIC? Chairperson, let me put just two last questions. In terms of Section 40, Subsection 3A of the PFMA, the water trading entity is required to prepare an annual performance report. Why is the water trading entity still subsumed under the reporting of the department? Of the 334 municipal water treatment works mentioned in the green drop as being in the critical state, and these municipalities were placed under regulatory surveillance and required to submit a detailed corrective plan within 60 days. How many municipalities, Chair, complied, and what actions was taken against non-compliant municipalities? And your Honorable Mashogo must not come here and politicize these things. They must tell us the truth, Chairperson. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm happy the minister is here. He's also going to respond.
Good afternoon, colleagues, honorable members, Minister and Deputy Minister Mashogo. I'm not quite sure whether Deputy Minister Tshabalala is here. Marehe Chair, I do have a few questions in terms of the report. Let me be the first person to appreciate what has been presented to us since the morning. One can still say that there is consistency in terms of the report of the department, the report of the Auditor General, and also the monitoring and evaluation report. In terms of that, there is consistency and there is stability within the department and its entities. And also appreciate the fact that we do have a clean audit report, although there are challenges that are being highlighted since in the morning until now, that during the audit process, but the performance has been there. And after even the reporting period of the 31st of March, there are still issues that we are still working on them as the department. It gives one hope, Chair. Although, Chair, one would want to ask, in terms of the report, there is allocation that goes to provinces. And what happens to provinces that are not spending their monies in terms of what is being allocated to them? Are we still saying that let's continue to increase allocation, or are we still saying that even if when you observe that there's under expenditure, there's rollover in the process, you have this process of budget adjustments and prioritizing of the project? Are we still saying that, Chairperson, should we continue with the same process? Is there any other thing that we can do to help such provinces, maybe intervention, especially from the departments and those who have capacity to assist in different ways, if one can be clarified in that instance? When you look at the report that was presented by the department, I can't remember the slide number, but I know for the fact that there are provinces that are still underperforming. What is it that we are going to do as a department, if we can get clarity on that one? And also, Chair, when you look at the report, there are variations. The expenditure for this financial year would be possibly maybe for a particular period a certain amount of money. There will be variations in terms of the years and so on and so forth. One would want to understand what is the budget implication in terms of that, the level of impact that has been there in terms of the finances and with little output going forward.
One Zoom meeting fun for work and up.
Sharon, you mute your mic.
It was Ms. Peterson.
It was Ms. Peterson. I thought Sharon. Okay. I'm sorry, Sharon.
Okay.
I'm trying. Mama, try. Are you finished?
I'm just trying. It's not going to be too bad, Chair.
Yeah.
And then also, Chair, the water plan. One would say that the municipalities, how far are we with that process? And one is being afraid of the timelines, because yes, you get a report, but there's nothing that shows that there's time frames in terms of when are we going to develop and when are we going to do our presentation? What is happening with regards to that one? You always hear that there's a problem in terms of the water plants in different municipalities, but you don't get to understand that what will be the time frame of completing those plans. Chair, I must say that water is life, and in many instances, we do have challenges, especially recently, of vandalism. But one could pick up the challenge of the water shedding in some areas in the other parts of the country. But there's nothing that says to us that in terms of what you have, including the petitions that we have as the department, these are the following things that the department will be addressing during the next financial year. I know for the fact that we once had a meeting that talks to the petitions that we have that were presented to Parliament in terms of the water shortages, the challenges that we have in the area of Rustenburg and also in the area of KZN. Maybe if one can get that information, we can be comfortable to say that we are moving forward. But Chair, one must really appreciate that the department has worked and the portfolio committee has worked. We are no longer from that situation that we were in before 2019. For this financial year, one would really say that the department is doing its level best, and we are trying to be there. And one can see that there are changes, although that there are certain issues that we need to address as and when they pop in as the department. That would be my contribution, Chair. And it's true that there are challenges, Chair, but moving forward, we need to give solutions to our problem, especially of water and sanitation. The budget eradication, honorable members have raised the issue on budget eradication. We still say that we can do better. And if the team can be proactive to have plans before even the process of adopting the budget, at least it will help us to move forward and help us to reduce the irregular expenditure, help us to reduce underspending, if we can really have plans before even the finalization of the adoption of the budget. And in terms of municipalities, Chair, I'm not quite sure on how are we going to deal with the issues, but one can really say the issue of skills and capacity in different municipalities is a challenge. And I'm not quite sure whether municipalities are the ones which are developing the sector plans or in terms of water plans, or whether are we employing the services of the consultants throughout, and there's no capacity in terms of that. If one can get clarity and begin to build capacity as much as we can, because the reality of the matter is that in most instances, what really hampers service delivery is the capacity and the skills that we have, the competences that you have in different municipalities. One can see that there is improvement and in the Department of Water and Sanitation, but how do they assist also to capacitate the municipalities? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Honourable Minister DM and my colleagues and the department. It's been a long day, Chair, but we're still surviving. Just a few questions, Chair. I will not follow the sequence of the department, but I will just have a few areas that I want to ask from the department with some proposals. First, it should be a truth, which I don't think it's only us as a department that should confirm that truth. The department is doing a lot of work, and there's a lot of improvement, more especially in terms of the water provision to different communities of the country. The minister, when he arrived in the department, we were in a huge problem in different areas of water services. I think we need to say that, which is visible in the performance of this report from the department. Yes, surely there will be those areas which perhaps necessitate us to point on them and make some proposals to the department. In some of the reports, there are dependables where the department is dependent to more especially to municipalities to perform. Department has got planned a program with budget, but is unable to implement the program because of municipality challenges. I think it comes time and again in the report. I just want to check as to how far have we managed to make the DDM model to work. Where are the bottlenecks? How do we make sure that this development model, district development model, is working? Because people, when they are unable to implement their programs at the municipal level, they pinpoint on the national department, and the national department is at the door knocking, is unable, because municipality has got huge challenges. I just want to check, because it's not going to help us to always cry and force and do things, and we're not getting to the crux of the matter. Where is the problem? As to how far are we with this DDM, or is there another approach to address issues of municipalities to ensure that people of this country are getting water? There's a matter of Giani. Remember, Giani was a thorny issue since we arrived in the 6th Parliament. But when the minister, Umaqingwane, came in the department, we were bleeding on many issues. And Giani was the crux of the matter. It was a painful, a visible experience. We went to oversight 2 times, no improvement. People were like monkeys there. They were just like monkeys. There's a huge improvement in Giani with the dams of Limpopo, and how they provide the reticulation to Giani infrastructure. But there's something that is coming again from Giani, as if we didn't do our work well. The one issue that is pertinent in this is the non-responsiveness of Mopane District. Mopane District is not even coming to meetings when they are convened. That happened 2 times, if not 3 times. They don't pitch in meetings because we want to engage. We want to help them. We want to have a same understanding on why issues are like this. I want to make a proposal, Chair. We continue to call Mopane and Mopane doesn't care. And Giani now, there are issues that are coming again. We convene a meeting with Mopane, Salga, COCTA, and the department and the entity that is in that area, so that we get exactly what is happening. There's also a Nibutwa, Inyame Pansukumus. We must be able to get that Nyama Pansukumus. The last one, Chair, is that there seems to be an understanding of the department's performance, the AG and DPME. But what we really want to see is that there is a need for one entity to stand alone, to be one that is doing a consistent, systematic monitoring. The department is there to implement with all the skills that they have. But AG and the monitoring and evaluation are here to monitor if things are happening well. And they should be able to stand alone in terms of the in-depth analysis to help the department. They should not be like the department. They are not the department. They should make their own in-depth analysis so that they should understand why Glen William Dam, why Mzimvubu, why Zanini are having problems outside the department's performance, so that they help the department to get to the depth of the analysis. Is it the program planning that makes this project not to perform? Is it the activity plan? Because if the activity plans are not giving a clear business processes, you will not be able to achieve your performance. Now, these two should get to the crux of those matters. So I seem to be not understanding what is different from them and the department. And the department. So I just wanted to raise those few areas, Chair. There's a lot that I think we've raised, and I think the members have also raised them. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Oh, the last one, Chair. Last one. Slide 57. I have that in my mind. There's a rollover that is proposed from WISEF. My worry there are projects that are to be implemented there. And now we are proposing a rollover of that budget. Which programs are going to be compromised? Remember, we're going for somewhere. And it's important, therefore, that when we're promised those communities, we must be able to implement their projects before they turn around against us. So which project programs that are going to be compromised in this rollover, proposed rollover from WISEF? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Just one or two comments, Minister and the Deputy Minister. There is a buzzword that is consistent, that there is a very good progress from where we were to where we are. However, there are consistent dissatisfaction on one or two things that are very, very pertinent. For instance, and I just raised it as a question, why are we not eradicating bucket problem? Because we have resolved that that must be eradicated. We said it must be eradicated, and a promise of that it will be eradicated in 6 months' time. It did not happen. We put a month of August last year. We moved it to September. We moved it to March. Where we are today, it is now another March next year. And it does not move, Minister. We are, according to numbers, as of March last year, March this year earlier, because this is the report as of March, we are at 21% in Free State. 21%. We were there in Free State. We have seen what was happening. And the promise that the commitment made was that it will be eradicated by August. And now it is said to be March next year. When we went to Free State, I was a little bit just deliberate to say we are going there to want to see water being done. I mean, a bucket being eradicated, even if we knew that there was already a proposed movement on the date. We are now going to hand over the project being not finished. And this packet dedication, it is as of 1994. When we get into municipalities, the municipal forum, the houses, which were using a bucket system, and they were 12,221, I think. We are still with those, and then the commitment was made that this bucket system, 12,000 of them, must be done away with as of that year to date. I heard what Mato is saying, and I want to refuse to accept what he's saying. That because you are fixing the car whilst moving, you are facing quite a lot of challenges in the process. No. When you put budget, because you will have done studies and you are convinced that this budget will meet what we want. So I'm sure Mateo was doing it because we're asking questions, and he believes we're asking questions because we don't have answers. We do. Our answer is simple. Eradicate baguette system in the state and leave all other areas which are growing because people are building new municipal houses and they don't want to put systems of sanitation. These 1994 ones must be done away with, and it must be done away with before we go to elections, Minister Mkunu. Irrespective of whatever the challenges that are there, this one must be done away with. It should be done away with. In Northern Cape, we are told we are at 92%, or at 592 numbers. We don't know what is that. Remember, we have not gone to Northern Cape committee members. We must go to Northern Cape and just go and see whether indeed we're at 92. And if that is the case, we'll be happy, but it must also be done away by March 2024 as promised. There is no way that you want us to go and hand over our latest report with the BEP that is not yet finalized. We must have finished the bucket system, both in Free State and in Northern Cape. This one, Minister, an explanation is not expected. We don't expect an explanation. We expect a handover report of toilets that are now flushing. On this one specifically, all others we can hear that there can be challenges. This one we don't want those challenges. Honestly speaking, please bear with us. On this one, we will not accept an excuse of not having done it. We appreciate the issues done in Limpopo. Just maybe talk to us a bit, Minister. Last week there was a write-up in the news that the people of Guyana have again stopped the project. Why was it? But what is our response? And I know it's not part of the report because the report is as of March 2023, but please take us on board where we are on the Guyana, because we believe we are doing a good progress there. But the buzzword is that we are a better department as compared to when we came into the fore. That's the matter. We must appreciate also the fact that for instance, on a regular expenditure, we're at 979 at some point. Today we are, 979 million. Today we are only at 31. 31 is still a lot of money, but there's a good progress made from 979 to 31 million. And we also understand where does the 27 million come from, even if it is a long one, water treatment entity. Which sign of work being done, the engineers of water treatment entity, signs of the work being done and pay the amount of money when the work is not being done. In the places where the work is halfly done, they sign as if it is fully done and they pay the work. And, I mean, we can't make allegations, but as a matter of fact, what will propel you as an engineer to literally sign off job being done when nothing is being done? What? If it is not bribery, if it is not criminality, what will make you as the qualified engineer who went to school and then saying that there is work being done in this area when none has been done. If it's not corruption, what is it? If it is not bribery, what is it? Without making allegations of people being bribed, but what will profess as a layman on the street, and even myself, who's not necessarily a qualified engineer, if, and because I'm a chairman of the portfolio committee, I have to see to it, if I sign that there is work being done in Bushbuck Ridge where I stay, but materially no job has been done, what must somebody think that propels my mind to believe to behave that way? If it's not pride, if it's not corruption, what is it? And I think, therefore, the issue of consequence management becomes an issue. The issue of consequence, but this engineer must be investigated. Why did he behave this way? He signs that there is work being done, pay millions of money when no work has been done. What are the consequences thereof? It's very important. That 1 million rand is gone. People have just signed. There is no work being done. And the consequences we, consequences. With that in as a matter of fact, we must appreciate the issue that 88% of the people of South Africa have got water now. Yes, there is still the 12% of them that does not have water. There are those that does not have water at all. And those that have got small, but I think the department is doing better. But let us minimize these wrongness, small as they might be, Minister. Let's minimize them. That we can give a report that is so clean. Of course, the issue of you being at 70%, 90%, it's work in progress. It's acceptable. But where things are not done, we should not allow it. All entities of the city, entities are man-made. Entities are entities which are account to the minister directly. All of them have got red color in terms of accounting. All of them, with no exception. All of them. Even under your leadership, Minister Mkunu, they have got red. You find them in red. They are still in red as we speak by this report. It is not related to your behavior since you came here. Your behavior has changed red to other colors. Why Yama entity? Utanda, umsobo obo, ki kule kula ma entity. Kula amaya wonga ukula no bo, wafunyani bo, awfuno kubon. Kute ni minister kuma entity, ubo, ungabzoni. Why are you not hating red in the entities? If you hate them, what is the process forward of the dealing with that red color in all the entities that account to you directly? Otherwise, the overall, there is a buzzword of success. We are moving forward. There is work being done. It is very clear. But the Kuna letter is not in the name of Minister. Sishonjal. Sasukos.
I'm here, Chair. Thank you very much. I would plead that Director General and those who presented do so, and then we'll follow after them so that they pick up on pertinent issues that are relevant to the areas of specific areas of work. Thank you, Chair.
DG, we have been given you to respond to us and any other person you would want to.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will start with giving some of the responses and then I'll ask colleagues to also add. On the first question from Honourable Peterson, on the issue of certain areas of performance which are repeatedly being reported as underperforming. Some of the area we've been focusing on those areas, and some of the areas we have made progress. For example, on the National Water Act revisions, Cabinet has recently appointed that they be gazetted for public comment, they will be gazetted shortly. Other areas that you mentioned, such as, for example, dam safety work, that is related to, Honourable Peterson, you saw in our presentation that last year we put in place a new procurement strategy, and we've also put in place a construction unit efficiency improvement program so that we can deliver better with our construction units. Much of the dam safety work is done by our construction unit. So you will see that the performance in terms of that indicator starting to improve this year and next year. With regard to risk management, which you also mentioned, we are now implementing our risk management diligently under the Independent Risk Committee. The reports from the chairperson of the Risk Committee will indicate that we are gradually improving with regard to taking actions identified through the risk management process. So some of the things that you highlighted can't be fixed overnight. For example, the improvement of the efficiency of the construction unit and the implementation of improved procurement processes, but you will start seeing the impact of those changes coming through in future annual reports. And with regard to the underspending, Honourable Peterson, in the previous year, our expenditure was $2 billion, and we indicated the kind of things that we're doing, which includes things like that I've mentioned, like with the procurement improvement. Most of that under expenditure was related to our grants that we give to municipalities, and most of the under expenditure is due to under expenditure by the municipalities on the grants. But we indicated that we were also taking measures in that regard, including moving money from municipalities that are spending slowly to municipalities that are spending quicker, which won't result in the municipalities losing money. We'll just put the money back later. We've explained that before to the Portfolio Committee. So those measures have started to take effect because, as I indicated, under expenditure in the previous financial year was $2 billion. We reduced it in the last financial year to 700 and something million, as you indicated. And this financial year, I'm pretty sure it will be close to zero. So that does give an indication that the improvement measures that we're putting in place that we've reported on previously to the Portfolio Committee are having an impact. With regard to the issue of procurement and percentages of expenditure to designated groups, as I've indicated previously to the Portfolio Committee, legally speaking, we have to follow the prescripts of the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act. And the Act says that we have to apply the 80-10 rule in our procurement. In other words, for projects below a certain size, we allow to allocate 20 out of 100 points to preferential points, and the rest has to go to price. For projects larger than that, we can allocate 10 points for preference and the rest has to go to price. So following the Constitutional Court judgment regarding the 2007 preferential procurement regulations last year, we were required, as were the rest of government departments, to put in place our own preferential procurement policy, which involved allocating those 20 points and those 10 points to different designated groups, which we did. And we've reported previously to Portfolio Committee on how we've allocated those preferential points to different designated groups, which includes people living with disabilities, women, and youth. Then in terms of the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act, we have to apply that diligently. So for all of our procurements, whether it's open tenders or getting quotations, we have to tell the market what is our policy with regard to the allocation of the preference points. And then when we adjudicate the tenders, we have to apply that to the letter. Otherwise, it gets classified as a regular expenditure. And then at the end of the process, the bid adjudication department is required by law, the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act, to award the tender to the highest scoring bidder after applying the preference points. So we have to follow that process, and by following that process, we don't have control. We can't decide we're allocating certain projects to people from certain groups. We have to follow that process by law every time we do a procurement. And we don't know what is going to come out at the end and which company is going to be the company which gets the most points. So I think that's the answer to the question as to what steps will the department take to increase our expenditure to designated groups. We can't do anything other than I've described with the procurement process. However, we do collaborate with other departments and governments, such as the Department of Women in the Presidency, and we do participate with them if they organise workshops, for example, for designated groups with regard to training and capacity building for how to tender. We do participate and collaborate with such initiatives. With regard to the question of Honourable Moklala of how are we involved in the capacitation of municipalities? Well, there's several ways, and probably the most important way is through our blue and green or no drop assessment reports. Because as we always indicate when we talk about the blue and green and no drop reports, that they're both a regulatory mechanism and a support mechanism to municipalities. So when we do the blue and green and no drop assessments of municipalities, we identify in detail exactly how their water and sanitation systems are not up to scratch, exactly for the reasons for them not being up to scratch, and exactly what the municipalities need to do to improve the situation. And that includes assessing whether or not they've got the staff with the required skills and qualifications. And then we advise the municipalities what kind of staff they need to recruit with what kind of qualifications in order to address the gaps. In addition to that, we do have the minimum norms and standards for water and sanitation services in terms of the Water Services Act, which also provide guidance to municipalities for process controllers for water treatment works and wastewater treatment works, what are the minimum qualifications and skills required by the process controllers. We're in the process of amending those minimum standards to extend those to also the managers of water treatment works and wastewater treatment works, to also prescribe the minimum qualifications and skills requirements for such managers. And then there are other mechanisms which I'm going to ask Lizzie Marty to talk about a bit, which his branch does with the municipalities. And we collaborate with COGTA on, such as the MUSA assessments of municipalities, which again are assessments of how municipalities are performing from an institutional point of view and how they need to improve their management. And those assessments are provided to the municipalities, and the municipalities are given detailed guidance as to what they need to do to improve their capacity. Together with COGTA and MISA, particularly with MISA, support is offered to the municipalities in order to help them to implement the results of those assessments to improve their capacity. With regard to the question about allocations to provinces, we don't actually allocate any money to provinces. We only allocate money to municipalities. Apart from the provincial COGTAs playing a coordinating role, water isn't a provincial government function. It's a national function and a municipal function. So the grants that we have, we allocate to municipalities. Your question was, what happens when we allocate money to municipalities and some of the municipalities don't spend? As we indicated last year when we were talking about what we're going to do to reduce under expenditure, what we're now doing as the department is we're monitoring that closely, and where a municipality is underspending on a project, we, in order to avoid under expenditure, we tell the municipality that we're going to only give them the money over a longer period, and in the meantime, we're going to take the money that they would have underspent and give it to another municipality which can spend it, and then we provide, give them that money back again later when they are ready to spend it. The budget implications of not spending, we are concerned about, and that is why we've been putting so much effort into reducing our under expenditure, because there is a risk that Treasury and the Cabinet will say that if this department's not able to spend what has been allocated, then we should reduce its allocations. But I think the fact that we significantly reduced our under expenditure from the previous year to last financial year, and the fact that National Treasury will be able to see now that that we're not going to underspend this financial year will reduce that old under expenditure affecting our budget. And we think that we will be able to convince Treasury that we have improved, that we dealt with this under expenditure problem, and that it's not necessary for them to reduce our budgets. Because we've significantly reduced, and in the future we will eradicate our under expenditure. There was a question about petitions. Just the short answer is that when we are provided with information about petitions from the Portfolio Committee, we do engage and we do provide the Portfolio Committee with reports. We do participate in meetings of the Portfolio Committee with communities related to the petitions. There's three petitions in particular that I'm aware of. There's one in the Northwest, there's one in the Northern Cape, and there's one in Limpopo we've engaged on. And when I finish answering questions, as Rizzi Mahati responds, I'd like him to also ask our regional heads from those three provinces to talk a bit about what we've been doing with regard to those petitions at this time. There was a question from Honourable Sikwai about how the DDM has helped us with the challenges with municipalities. The DDM has helped in terms of improving coordination, particularly our provincial offices, our provincial management participate in all the DDM structures, and that's helped us to coordinate our work with the municipalities, with other departments such as COCTA and the Municipal Infrastructure Grant. But apart from the coordination, there are certain challenges that we've identified which the DDM isn't addressing. And in order to address those challenges, we've developed the proposed amendments to the Water Services Act, which we've spoken about previously to the Portfolio Committee, which in essence involves introducing an operating license system for water service providers and some amendments to Section 63 of the Water Services Act to go along with that requirement of operating licenses to enable the minister to ensure that the Water Services Authority appoints a licensed water service provider where necessary. Those proposed amendments to the Water Services Act were approved by Cabinet a couple of weeks ago for publication, for gazetting, for public comment, and they will be gazetted shortly. And then I'd like to ask Frans to start by asking some colleagues to add some responses. Frans, if you can start, please, on the questions related to you.
Thank you, SDG. The question around the rollovers, Honourable Mashallah, we haven't received the response from National Treasury. It should be part of the adjusted estimate of national expenditure. And also linking to the question from Honorable Sikwai, there shouldn't be any project compromise. These rollovers are coming from the previous financial year. They will actually add to our current year's budget. So they will improve our work in the current year if they are considered favorably. And the other question related to WTE. WTE is currently an account within the department, not necessarily an entity. So in the future, when they are now combined with TCGA, we should be having a separate annual report for them. Thanks.
Thank you, Leonardo. Would you like to answer the questions about Clan William and Norm Zimbopo?
Thank you, DG. Just to say, in terms of the Mzimbubu project, yes, it has been delayed by certain reasons in terms of including dispute that was unresolved, but at this point in time, we can report that the dispute with the PSP has been resolved. We are moving ahead. We're also appointing TCTA as our project managers to implement the PMU to go forward. A lot of administrative work has to be done by the engineers to prepare ourselves for a starting at the end of November this year, but we're working towards that. In terms of the Clan William project, once more, just to say that the procurement challenges that the department has had has caused great reason for a part of those delays, but as the DG has explained, as far as the work that has been done to improve those procurements, the procurement processes, we can report that 9 out of the 13 bids that have been advertised for the Clan William project have been awarded. 3 additional subcontractors are already on site together with a construction unit busy with the preparatory construction work that is already underway to actually take this forward. So the raising of Clan William has restarted and is already underway. Thank you.
Thank you, Leonardo. Just to add on Mzimbubu, the main reason for the delay in many years on Mzimbubu project was the lack of funding for the project and the inability of the Department of National Treasury to agree on the funding for the project. But we resolved that at the end of December last year with National Treasury. We reconfigured the project to make it affordable, and on the basis of that, National Treasury agreed to allocate funding to the project. So the many years of delay since 2014 for the project, almost up until the end of 2022, were basically caused by the inability to resolve the funding issue for the project. So currently, the construction is happening on site related to the project for the access roads for the Ntabalanga Dam. And as Leonardo indicated, the actual construction work related to Ntabalanga Dam will be starting by the end of November. And I'd like to ask Wizimati to address some of the questions related to his section.
Thanks, DG. The first question I want to just add some information is on the BEP. Chair, I want to read the whole historic information that you've already alluded to. I think it's more like preaching to the converted. That's the message you were sending. But safe to say that it's actually crucial, Chair, to also take note of the challenges we've had. When the portfolio committee went to site earlier this year, yes, they had noted some of the challenges on the ground and also some minimal progress. And we have sent a call as a department, even within the very same challenges that we have noted on site and what we used to the scale report on in the past. I just want to give you some of the updated information just for the sake of trying to show that we have made progress in the Free State. In March, for instance, in Clockland, we're sitting around 21%. And as of end of August or so, we were averaging around 45%. So in the space of about 2.5 months, we have moved a margin of about 20%, feedback by end of August. It was sitting at around 60%, and when you saw it back then, it was sitting at around 45%. Just to give some of the examples, in rate as well, we have made progress. Ellington at the moment, end of August, was sitting at around 50% or so. And we have calculated the risks, and we have looked at how much time we still have towards the end of the financial year, and hence those dates that we have indicated, Chair, stick to that. So I thought it was quite crucial to share with the committee the margins of progress from when you have seen the conditions on the ground to how we are looking at the things now, because we are having a weekly progress meeting with all the contractors, and we are dealing with the issues as they come, be it social related, be it SMME related, or any technical issues. we are actually getting involved, and I'm especially running some of those meetings from my office in my level. So we are trying to give comfort to say we are actually making a progress, even within the challenges that the chair is quite aware of. The other question, DG, that I want to address is what was asked especially on the review of the implementation plan, which seeks to address, for instance, the issues of water losses in municipalities. What the department is doing, which we are actually making good progress, is that we have, as you would have known in the past, that the department used to release the blue and green drop, and later this year, in the next couple of weeks or so, the minister will release the no drop, which talks specifically to what the honorable member has raised, issues of water losses. And what the department seeks to achieve with that is to paint a picture on how municipalities are operating, specifically when it comes to management of our water infrastructure as it leads to all the water losses. And this, Honorable Chair, talks directly to what the DG has mentioned, where we are integrating this to our MUSA assessment, because this is a tool that gives us a chance to look at where are the gaps that are happening in municipalities. So these reports are helping us to address that. Over and above that, what we are doing as the department, we are doing what we call the five-year reliability plan. And what this five-year reliability plan intends to achieve is that we have seen through our blue and green drop that our infrastructure conditions on the ground is dilapidated. Now, the five-year reliability plan seeks to assist municipalities, first of all, one, to develop what we call the Water Service Development Plan. The WSDP chair are linked to the IDP. In other words, we are helping municipalities to at least develop a five-year plan that talks to their water and sanitation services. In this way, we are helping them to even comply with our DORA framework when we have to fund them for the project that they're implementing. So we are using these tools to help municipalities plan ahead, know what needs to be implemented, and also how they can communicate with their constituents when it comes to the IDP session. All these projects are ring-fenced around the norm of water efficiency, where we are addressing issues of water losses. On the issue of capacitation, it also talks to the issue that I've spoken about now, DG. That is how we are capacitating some of the municipalities, basically when we deploy our five-year reliability. We are using our regional offices. We have a service provider that are rolled out throughout the country, and we identify municipalities that seek that support, part of which forms part of the ministerial intervention, where we do this condition assessment, and we develop business plans, and we roll out the projects that are all over the country. The last issue that I want to address is on the Giani water project. The honorable member spoke of the non-responsiveness of Mopani. It's an area I will try to avoid by all means. I think I won't talk to that. However, the point I want to bring forward, Chair, is that despite all those challenges that are well documented, that we are all aware in the past of this so-called Giani project, we have maintained and we have been reporting in the past that the first project, which entails the bulk line, has now been completed. That transmits the raw water from Nandone to Sami. That water is the canal and it's operating effectively. The second part is the water treatment works, which is now sitting at over 60%, and it should be fully functional to give us that 25 megaliters a day by at least end of December. All this is linked to what we call the secondary bulk mains or the water services in those villages, which talks to the 55 villages. At the moment, 24 contracts are on the ground, and I think I would be preaching to the converted, because it's well documented of how far the department has gone in recirculating those villages. We are sitting at, on average, under 40%. However, because these projects are starting in different time slots, at least 4 to 5 villages are sitting at over 80%, with the intention that all these projects should be completed by June next year, because we are running in the municipal financial year. So despite all the challenges in the past, I think the department has turned the call and the results are there for the showing, and we are doing day-to-day monitoring of this project. On the petition, I think the DG has given a high-level response to the issue of the petition. I will allow maybe shortly just to give on a brief response for Northern Cape. We have Ike in the platform. If you may just quickly give a high-level brief on that through your chair, if you may allow us. And then once Ike is done, we will allow Lucy, who is the provincial head for Limpopo, to also give a quick response on how we are handling our petitions. And then the last one will be Northwest, where I will allow Chadwick to also speak briefly on those issues. Thank you, DG.
Hello, good afternoon, honorable members. Thank you, DG and DDG. Yes, we did attend to the petition. It was presented to the petitions committee. And in a nutshell, the area in question is Magareng local municipality, where the municipality had challenges with their bulk supply, water supply to the town. And there were a few challenges that were raised. One of them is an incomplete water treatment facility project. One of them, as the second point, was the tankering services and the distribution of the water, and also the completion of the bulk line, which is an MIG project. Fortunately, together with DM Judith Chabalala, Deputy Minister, we managed to visit the area on the 6th of October, and it was her oversight visit to the area, and she met with the Honorable Sukers. And we managed to visit the site where the municipality is currently procuring the contractor to complete that water treatment facility project. And there's significant progress that has been made on the bulk supply line, the new one that is not under the river. And the water has been restored to the town. The challenges that the municipality is experiencing is pressure in high-lying areas. And they've also got some old asbestos pipes, but they have given us a breakdown of how the asbestos pipes will be addressed over the MTF period, utilizing the various grant mechanisms that they've got available to them. So currently water is restored to the town, with some few areas that are still experiencing challenges that are operations and maintenance related. Thank you very much, DDG.
So Lucy.
Thank you, DG. Greetings to Honorable Minister and members of the Portfolio Committee and all protocol observed. All the petitions in Giyani, I was lucky they were all attended to at the top management echelon of the department led by the minister. And even the current one, the minister has mitigated, and he has engaged the MEC and the mayor, and they are attending to it. With regard to reticulation issues, I'm holding weekly Thursday meeting 6 o'clock. That's why the whole reticulation 38 contracts has got no issues. We address issues as and when they come. And we also have got monthly MSTT meeting chaired by the executive mayor. So all the issues are addressed at political level, and that is all that we have. Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chadwick.
Good afternoon again, Minister and honorable members. Minister, we have a petition that came from Rustenburg Municipality, which we are currently investigating. We held a meeting with Rustenburg Municipality yesterday, which was Monday, and we found that, yes, we understand that there is a growth in the demand of water in Rustenburg. However, the problem is exacerbated by the lack of proper operation and maintenance. And there are quite a number of systems that are supplying Rustenburg. And of late, we have had several breakdowns in the Bosport plant and the Bosport pipeline that is supplying, that is managed by Mahali's Water. In our meeting with Rustenburg yesterday, it was indicated that there is a case that was opened with respect to an incomplete project. However, Rustenburg Trust indicated that they do have a budget in place for that project. They are going to be appointing a contractor for mechanical and electrical in order for them to complete the plant. This was also as a result of the executive mayor contacting the deputy minister requesting funding. And that's what prompted us to actually also look at what funding do they have. And we found that they do have the money. The only problem is this case, which is holding them up to procure the services of a contractor to complete the project. But Rustenburg has got that challenge. They are trying to ration water. I'm not sure if it is the right word of shifting water. And as a result of the high demand in the Rustenburg area. We will be doing another follow-up meeting next week, Monday, to find out how far they have gone with respect to this challenge. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chadwick. Minister, that brings us to the end of the officials.
Thank you very much, Chair. A few things to pick up. First, I just want a statement registered to the Portfolio Committee on behalf of all of us from the department that we note and we share all the views that have been expressed in the meeting. We and the expressions that have been made, and that includes the reservations in some areas and concerns in others that the Portfolio Committee have expressed. And this in particular, where we are not making expected progress, or even where there is failure. Of course, a note, of course, that also a statement made in the meeting recommendation that there is progress, actually statements that were made that there is progress. We we take all of these expressions seriously, and they constitute a way forward on our side that we should work standing only on our toes and not on resting on our laurels, which of course we're not doing. There are areas of concern internally that we ourselves have for where we're not performing well. We note all of them. But just to statement number two, I thought, Chair, you would have mentioned that as part of our broad delivery in terms of water, Nelson Mandela Bay dams are full and overflowing. There could be, or there is God's hand there, but it's a relief to all of us, communities in that municipality and the areas around Nelson Mandela Bay. It's a bit of a relief on our side. We've been managing water there from 6 days to day zero to more than 400 days, and fortunately it rains. It's remarkable because this is year number 8, the cutting off a drought that has lasted more than 7 years, in other words. And I think God is on our side as South Africans on that matter. Number 3, I want to register my personal concern about a lack of progress on our side on the Bucket Eradication Program. We have spelled out what we want implemented and where we want implemented. But I note that the department has not done well at all in terms of processing the implementation, not at all, and quite disappointed at this stage that things lapse in an official's office for days and days, and you get a sense of failure to prioritize, to process things, and just leisure, and so on. It teaches us, though, as a ministry, that everybody needs to be supervised, and supervised very closely, because if we don't do that, things lapse, things get delayed, and when you come to the portfolio committee, you can't really justify some of the things. I know that. So the plan for bucket eradication is there for Northern Cape, for Free State. Some things in the Free State, as was reported to us a few weeks ago, we are progressing there. But by and large, we should be in a better position than we are at the moment. We will focus because I can't just blame the department without reference to ourselves. And we are keen to make a turnaround on this matter because it has been around for decades in the country. And it's not in the whole country. It's three provinces in the main. It's Northern Cape, it's Free State, and it's Eastern Cape. Even though buckets are sort of expanding, we even have an idea of signing a memorandum of understanding with each of the premiers and their mayors, never to distribute buckets after we launch eradication programs in each of these provinces. We should have made progress, but I think performance on the side of the department and processing has been less than good. Proceeding from that, to say the vibe, if I don't know, I shouldn't call it vibe, I should call it the grievances that are visible and in newspapers, on TV, the buzz of lack of water in different areas is acknowledged, and we see that. All I would say to the portfolio committee for now is that we are lucky in DWS that maybe than other departments, in that we've been able to make headway in terms of reaching an understanding with most of the municipalities in South Africa that we should work together. That's the first fundamental thing that we needed, to work with them, so that where they have weaknesses, they immediately shout and call us in without the administrative processes and all of that, like taking over or application of Section 63, 139, and all of that. And I must say, more and more, there's opening up on their side. Whether it has to do with leaks, it has to do with budgeting for infrastructure and actually improving O&M, and cities like Durban are going to be benefiting well. And it also comes with a, at a time when between ourselves and Treasury, we've reached a higher understanding than we were experiencing before, where in terms of their city support, they would go a slightly different way and ourselves go another way. And it wasn't working out until we realized that we needed to work together. And we think that with that understanding, we can only go up and improve. But investments in infrastructure are lower than the speed with which we should be doing it, considering that for almost 10 to 15 years, with your pipes reaching 90 years, 100 underground, we would have needed to bring a volume of money into underground infrastructure in particular, which would immediately have an impact, positive impact on your non-revenue water, on your direct losses, because that's where we are having a major problem with Johannesburg, for instance, in Gauteng, with other municipalities, but Johannesburg in particular. It's not the shortage of water. When water gets to them and their pipes and infrastructure, the first problem is that they leak. They know municipality in Johannesburg, in Gauteng, that leaks less than 21%. All of them, direct, I'm talking about direct leaks. Etegwini leaks 45% directly. It means that even if you increase the abstraction volumes, they will still lose 45 of the increased volumes. And in fact, both in Gauteng and in Durban, we are I think even in Machabeng, we almost are abstracting beyond the license, which is worrying us, and we need to curtail that, because when municipalities find that they are running water as a result of the amount of leaks, they believe that it is the bulk that is in short supply, and they will then call for more water, only to leak water. So our focus at the moment is ways and means. And unfortunately, the private sector that is coming up seem to believe that one, you need more training, you need skilling, you need a better management of your water, your non-revenue. That's not the case necessarily. Yes, we need that. But we need investment in closed pipes, because even if you could be a professor, if you go to Everton and you find a pipe rotten throughout and it doesn't leak, it doesn't hold water in anywhere, so you won't do anything even if you know how to manage leaks. So our attention is insisting that municipalities need to budget, they need to start building, and we need to monitor their built-up programs in the next 12 and 24 hours. And by and large, we have agreements throughout the country with them to take money there, and then immediately follow with O&M in an improved way. But we are dealing with those turnarounds. The last thing that I want to comment on is, yes, DDM, the two last two, DDM alone is a form of doing things. It doesn't result in concrete things happening. You can be in good terms via DDM with a lot of municipalities, but if they are not capacitated and skilled to deal with matters at hand, you will talk nicely, but you do badly. On the other hand, one example as I leave is again Etegwini, where finally we've agreed that we take over their 10 wastewater plants out of which represent 90% of their sewer processing. Simply because they finally have said that we can't manage anymore. There are various municipalities, there's not a week that passes without us having meetings with municipalities. An hour ago, we were with all the municipalities in Northwest, taking a progress report, which is quite impressive. We're with Makana earlier this week. All of them, we are working and are making progress in terms of turning things around, be it on water or on sanitation. Beyond Lucy has reported, there's a practice now in the country which we're not prepared to tolerate, where people just pitch up. They don't tender. They just pitch up to say, we want this percentage of this project in terms of money, and they chase people away from sites. We are very much unprepared for that, and we don't accept it. And that's why we had to insist that we open a case, and that if negotiations today fail, we are going to work under police guard, literally, because we can't succumb to a few who would have joined the community in saying, we want water, we want water. Now, when water is being worked on for delivery, they then dump that slogan. They no longer want water, they want something else. And they stop the very water that they said they want. But those are just difficulties at times, but we don't think that they should. We should allow them to dominate and cause us to fail to deliver water, which is our mandate. With that, thank you very much. My appreciations.
At some point, name and shame them, because we agree with you. We can't succumb to Sagari. That's Sagari at its highest. It is like everybody who go about cutting Eskom pipes, cutting just the pipes, and we want to appreciate that thing. It's a rubbish, you must not accept, Minister. So we agree with you. If police soldiers must guard us, do work in order to deliver service to our people, let's do that. Because we can't have people who are walking left and talking right. It can't be correct. Marte, correct your number. You are saying you are at somewhere at 70-80% on BEP. In the document, you are at 21% in prestate. Change it. Give us the proper process. We want to appreciate what we have done. So if you in the meeting you speak 68, in the paper you give us 21, what must we take as the correct one? Change it and let it talk to what you are saying. At least then we can account to what you are saying. So we will hear you, but please upgrade. Uplift your reporting system. Let us get the proper numbers. Thank you very much, Minister, and the department. I think we, as we have said, even if a deaf or a blind person can hear and see that there is progress as compared to 2019, where we are today. It is a self-speaking and self-noise making itself. So we don't have to speak about it as if that it doesn't exist. It is a fact. Thank you very much, Minister, and the department, and we appreciate the report. Nosipo, where are we?
If TCTA is not going to have anything to say, Chairperson, is still closing them.
I want to take it that which I've just said as my closing remark. But CCTA has answered questions and as we were asking them. Thank you very much, and I think we we added to present the report as well to our report of the financial year report. We have been struggling, we have been missing the time of the financial year report, and I think let us do that. Although we know that entities are still giving us the 2021 instead of the 2022-23 financial year report, and I think we need to do that. We would see that process in order for us to be at par with the department. It will be better. Thank you very much, ministers and the team. The meeting set again.
Malubongwe, Chair. Malubongwe.
Long live the Chair.